Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text Number 54. Is that what it says up there? Okay. Yada acharya paravrta graha media karmasu vayasyai. Balakai tatra saha apahuta kritakshanai. Yadacharya paravrito grahamediya karmasu vayasya balakaistatra sopahuta kritakshanai. Yadacharya paravrito grahamediya karmasu vayasya balakaistatra sopahuta kritakshanai. Yadacharya paravrito grahamediya karmasu vayasya balakaistatra sopahuta kritakshanai. Ladies. Vayayasya malakaistatra Supahuta kritakshanai Yada excuse me, gotta adjust my materials. When Acharya, the teachers Paravrata became enraged, became engaged. No, they also were a little bit enraged too. Graha media of household life, karmasu, in duties, vayasyai, by his friends of the same age, balakai, boys, tatra, there, saha, he, Prahlad Maharaj, Bahuta, called Kritakshanai, obtaining an opportune moment. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. When the teachers went home to attend to their household affairs, the students of the same age as Prahlad Maharaj would call him to take the opportunity of leisure hours for play. Please repeat. When the teachers went home to attend to their household affairs, the students of the same age as Prahlad Maharaj would call him to take the opportunity of leisure hours for play. Purport, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In tiffin hours, does everybody know what tiffin hours are? If you're British from England, you probably do. Tiffin? T-I-F-F-I-N? Huh? Yes, that's right. It's lunchtime. The hours when the teachers were absent from the classroom, the students called Prahlad Maharaj, wanting to play with him. As will be seen from the following verses, however, Prahlad Maharaj was not very much interested in playing. Instead, he wanted to utilize every moment for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, as indicated in this verse by the word Kritakshanai, at the opportune moment when it was possible to preach about Krishna consciousness, Prahlad Maharaj used the time as follows. And then the next verse goes into what he actually did with the time. And it's really a very wonderful illustration for all of us trying to become more Krishna conscious. As we see here, Prahlad Maharaj himself wanted to become more Krishna conscious. Although he was in great ecstasy and he knew the ultimate philosophy, but he did not stop there. He did not think, well, you know, I'm in bliss, I'm peace, I'm happy, I'm fulfilled. No, it was ever ongoing. We never stop growing. We never stop developing. We never stop loving the Lord. We never stop increasing. And this was the point that is made here. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. This is a very important subject for all of us. especially here in the West, because the question often comes, what to do with our time which will be constructive and useful and beneficial, as opposed to destructive, useless, and unbeneficial. And I know I myself and many other devotees have had this problem as to using our time in a helpful, beneficial way. The tendency is that the younger you are, the more you think that you're going to live very, very long. This is the tendency. In fact, you hardly ever think that you're going to die. In fact, most people are operating in the understanding that they're going to pretty much be here forever. But if you say, are you going to be here forever? Well, of course not. But they're acting, they're feeling, they're willing as if they were going to be here forever. So a devotee actually has to be very conscious of this point. Srila Prabhupada makes this point in so many of his purports, and so many of his lectures, and so many of his his morning walks, that the time is ticking. The clock is running, and there's a long line, and we're on the line, and it's the line leading to death. And each day, we get closer and closer and closer to the final day. And those of us who can just look around and see how many people are dying every day, how many people are on the verge of death, how many people are contracting serious disorders and diseases which will ultimately lead to a terminal death. Heart disease, one of the biggest disorders in this country for sure, and cancer, and tuberculosis, and so many others. So it's all around us. And because we have the enjoying spirit, we don't like to think about death. We don't like to think about disease. We don't like to think about old age. And yet it's coming, and it's getting, I say it's coming, I mean that every day that passes, we grow closer and closer to the final day. So the question that we as devotees must be asking ourselves is, am I making my best possible use of every moment, every second, every minute, every hour? Am I using it constructively? Am I using it valuably? How can we use it constructively and valuably? Well, the only and the most constructive way we can use that is by trying to please the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord in loving devotional service. There is nothing else. If you sit down to watch the Lakers game, you're not going to please the Supreme Lord. If you go to watch the Dallas fight with the Denver Broncos, the Lord doesn't care one bit about that. And sometimes I know that devotees don't sit for 2 hours or 3 hours in front of the TV tube, or what they call the boob tube, and they just watch and watch and watch without a moment being used, in any degree of profit. It is all loss. So the question comes as I know many devotees, they've asked me this question. It says, well, I just have a compulsion. I want to watch the L.A. Lakers. I want to watch the L.A. Dodgers. I just have to do this. I've been doing this, since I'm a kid. And I just feel like I've got to turn it on for at least a half hour. Otherwise, I don't really feel myself. I don't really feel happy. So the question really comes out, why does this come? Well, we all know that when in the past, before we became devotees, many of us watched these games. We identified ourselves with particular teams. If you lived in New York, you rooted for the New York Yankees. And if you lived in Brooklyn at one time, way back then, you rooted for the Brooklyn Dodgers, who are now the LA Dodgers now or something like that. So I don't keep up with that anymore, so forgive my ignorance. Anyway, we identified ourselves with these different teams, said the New York Yankees. I lived in the Bronx, so I was a Yankee rooter. And I listened to the games. And what happened is I got a pleasure out of that. It was a joy because when my team was winning, I was winning. My team was losing, I was losing. So generally at that time, though, while I was into those things, my team was usually most of the time winning. So, of course, I felt real good about myself. So because my team, it wasn't putting a penny more in my pocket. It wasn't putting any new clothes on my back, except when I begged my mother to please buy me one of these Yankee jackets or Yankee T-shirts. I wasn't getting anything except the illusion that I'm getting better and bigger and greater and grander because my team is winning. So that has a certain pleasure. There's a certain taste. And sometimes when we get older, even though you've left those things to a great degree, we want to recover, we want to regain, we want to refeel that taste again. Even though it has no benefit, it has no bearing, it has no use. But because it gave us some pleasure in the past, out of sentiment, we dip back into the past to those old sentiments and want to recover them in the form of some kind of pleasure which we got. That pleasure which I have just mentioned of identifying ourselves with a particular team and the feeling of winning, the feeling of greatness, the feeling of being benefited, all illusions. So the question comes is that a good use of the time? You spend 2 hours in front of just, you know, watching this? Or some devotees I know who are very much into rock and roll, they have to watch these new, they have a lot of these new reality shows, contest shows, you know, American Idol, American Has Talent, and all of this. So they sit for a few hours watching those, thinking back to the old days when they wanted to be up there. Would it be wonderful if I could get up there? And then I could shout Hare Krishna to the millions of people who would be listening? But that's not the real motive. The real motive is name and fame and glory and adoration and profit and distinction. We should not kid ourselves about this. We sometimes take something which I just mentioned, not very pleasant, and we like stool, and we sprinkle some whipped cream over it and try to make it very, very wholesome and attractive. But the stool is there in the form of the false ego, which is basically identifying ourselves with our body. And in so identifying ourselves with our bodies, we then want to utilize these bodies in order to achieve some degree of lordship. Lordship meaning I control this, I own this, I have so many friends who adore me, I have a home, or I have a mansion, or I have a position as a big lawyer in a particular firm. This is all lordship. And it's all illusory because at some point in time, we're going to lose those things. So here Prahlad Maharaj is showing what really a devotee does. And Srila Prabhupada makes that very clear in the Nectar of Instruction. He realizes he's an eternal servant of Krishna. He loses interest in everything except Krishna. He's always thinking of Krishna. He's always trying to think of new ways to spread Krishna's holy name. He understands that his only business is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Such a person should be recognized as an Uttama Adhikari, and the advanced Uttama Adhikari should be accepted as a bona fide spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada wanted us to develop in this particular way. He wanted us to always be thinking of Krishna, always remembering Krishna, always glorifying Krishna, not just in the morning when we come to the program. The morning is supposed to be the springboard which enables us to bounce off it and continue on into the day. Some of us go to work, we have a job. Well, it doesn't mean that you can't take Krishna into the office. You can put a picture of Krishna on your computer, or you can put it on your desk, and every few minutes you can look at it, just as I have one over here, I look at it. Why? Because I get inspiration by looking at Krishna. And it reminds me of to keep centered and targeted when I speak. And I feel I get the blessings by just looking at Krishna. So why should I deny myself this wonderful opportunity, especially I'm in a position to serve. And I want to do the best possible service I can. So in my pauses, I pray to Krishna, please speak through me so that your words, not my words, because if my words hit their hearts, it's just going to be disaster. But if your words hit their hearts, it will be sunshine. It will be a blessing. It will be glory. Because everybody will be hearing what you have to say. And when we actually begin to manifest Krishna's words and Krishna's feelings and Krishna's thoughts, then we begin to really speak, or we do, with potency. And when we have this potency, which Srila Prabhupada mentions very often in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he himself had this glorious, wonderful potency, that he could arouse the heart, he could stimulate the heart, agitate the heart in such a way that one felt a desire to want to know Krishna, to want to serve Krishna, to want to surrender to Krishna, to want to love Krishna. This comes from the pure devotee. And if we're not turning on lots of people, it's because we're not pure. And we need to accept that fact. I'm not pure. So what am I doing about it? Well, I've got to try to get pure. All right, I'm doing chanting 16 rounds. I'm coming to the programs. But do we feel in our heart an intense yearning to want to improve our spiritual position or platform? Does it bother us that we cannot really affect people in a very deep way, the way Srila Prabhupada did? It bothers me like anything that I cannot enable people to feel the love of God or the interest in God and the concern about God that he was able to do. I don't envy him at all. I want to emulate him. And emulation and envy are two different things. Envy is I don't want to see him and I just want to act. But emulation means, wow, he is great. He is wonderful. He's marvelous. There's nobody greater. There's nobody higher or better or bigger or grander. Please, Lord, help me to even have a smidgen, a little tiny bit of that potency, so that someone who's out there, who's confused, who lacks understanding, who lacks direction, will in some way be benefited, will in some way be directed, will in some way read these books that I'm putting in their hands. So if we pray like that, or I give out a book, sometimes I give them out, sometimes you might see me, I'm chanting in front of the temple. When it's a nice sunny day, and I meet people, they come and they pass by, get into conversation, and I give them a small book or so. So then I usually pray, Krishna, I have very little potency to influence them to read that book. Even though I told them, read it, you'll be benefited, you'll be helped, your whole life will be transformed. But if you, in their hearts, trigger that mechanism which will create such intense curiosity, then they will read it. And they will relish it because you're involved in the process. I can do nothing, but you, Krishna, can do everything. If you use me as an instrument, then I become able to do everything, but not as an independent, only in connection with, in relation to you. One who is not connected with the Supreme Lord in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? And Krishna says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances. Worship me. Thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. In one who has unflinching devotional service to the Supreme Lord, all the qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. So if we want to manifest this, as it says in the verse, in one who has unflinching devotional service. And that service must be filled. It must be filled with an intense desire to please Krishna. It is not merely we do the service, but when there is a desire to please the beloved, then Krishna enters into the picture. If you're a cook, then you cook the food better because Krishna shows you from within. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they may come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness of ignorance. So Krishna guides us. We don't even know we're being guided. He's so subtle. And yet he's doing it. He's helping us. And therefore, whenever we do something good, something great, something wonderful, something marvelous, something applaudable, our first thought should be, thank you, Krishna, for being so merciful and using me as your instrument in this. So many people look benefited. So many people look helped. So many people are smiling in such a way as to be pleased. There's a connection that you've used me to make with them. Thank you so much. What better way to live my life than to be an instrument of your love? Because the more I become an instrument of your love, the more love flows through me. And the more love that flows through me, the more love I can give to you. And that's the idea. That as love flows through us, Krishna's love flows through us. It's just not going to flow. We have to be yearning for this. We have to desire it. Everything comes from desire. We popped into this or blooped into this material world because we desired to enjoy separately from Krishna. We wanted to enjoy sense pleasure. We wanted to gain property. We wanted to be the friend of all. We desired it. We just didn't think about it. And because we desired it so intensely, we no longer were qualified to stay and live and reside in the eternal world, where everyone is applauding, everyone is glorifying, everyone is honoring, everyone is serving Krishna. But as soon as we desire to receive this, then no longer are we qualified. So everything comes by desire. And if we want to become pure devotees of the Lord, we have to desire it. It's not enough to merely, it's good, yes, we do all of the different practices. And if you do them with great enthusiasm, and we do them with great appreciation, with intense gratitude, and Krishna is very pleased because he knows we're not taking it for granted. He knows we're not taking it in an arrogant way that, yes, I'm such a great devotee. I do so much wonderful service. I cook for the deities. The deities love my service. But we're not taking this puffed up, arrogant, hubristic mentality. Rather, the mentality is that I don't even deserve to serve the Supreme Lord. And yet, out of his causeless mercy, he's allowing me, he's permitting me, he's engaging me, he's helping me. So all of this is coming by his mercy. So if it's coming from his mercy and we don't deserve it, if it's a gift, then I owe. What do I owe? This life, millions and billions of lives. Because he is so kind, so sweet, so generous, so caring. I owe everything to him, and yet whatever I am giving is so small and insignificant and tiny that I feel I'm still in huge, tremendous debt. This is a wonderful way to serve, because you always want to do more and better. And if you want to do more and better, and you call upon Krishna, please help me to do more and better, he will give that guidance. He will give the help. He will give you that warmth and that sweetness and that love which enables you to do it better. He will enable us to influence people more and more. Our greatest limitation is our lack of real Krishna consciousness. This is our limitation. Purity of heart. Humility. Patience, feelings of love, courage, these are devotional feelings. Discrimination, knowing what I should do, what I should not do. Am I going to sit for 2 hours and watching this game? Or am I going to use the time maybe to go out and distribute books or talk to people about Krishna or get on the phone? You know, when you get into this mood, it actually becomes a little bit almost humorous. Sometimes I get these telemarketing calls. They're still doing it, not as much as they used to. And usually I let my answering machine answer the machine, and it just clicks off, and that's the end of it. But sometimes I'm expecting somebody to call me, and it turns out that it's not that somebody, and it turns out it's on the other side, this person is trying to sell. Hello, we're from, is this Alan so-and-so? Yes, it is. Well, this is AT&T Universe. I says, oh, Universe, just the person I want to speak to. Universe, I'm going to tell you something that you've never heard before. Hold your breath. And she says, excuse me, is this Alan Zupnik? Yes, it is. Well, let me just tell you. I know three magic words. Three words which are going to revamp, transform your life as never before. You've called me up to sell me something, right? Well, you're right. You know you have. So you call it to sell me something, and what I'm going to do is I'm not going to buy it, but I'm going to show you how to sell it to a million people. Now, I've got three words. First one is Hare. At that point, they don't know what to speak, whether they should hang up on me, whether this guy is crazy, whether you've got the Metropolitan Mental Institution. They can't. So you say this word, Hare. All right, Hare. Krishna, Krishna. Rama, Rama. Okay, let's say Hare, Krishna, Rama. Hare, Krishna, Rama. Let's say it three times together. Hare, Krishna, Rama. Hare, Krishna, Rama. Hare, Krishna, Rama. You're perfect. There's nobody better than you. You've made my day. Now go and call someone and make 100 sales. Hare Krishna. Boom. I call. Hang up. This is true. If you want to preach, there's nothing to stop you. There are people on the street. They've got their little doggies. They're walking with them, and they think like that. And you don't know them, and they're looking at you. You know, they see this tilak around your forehead. I don't know if you're coming from some tribe, some primitive tribe living in the bushes back up in Hollywood Hills. So you see their little dog, and you say, oh, what a beautiful little dog. How cute he is. What is his name? His name is Rover. Oh, can I pet him? Will he bite my finger? No. Before you know it, you've got a conversation going. And then, what are you people doing here? Because all you've been doing for 5 minutes is talking about them. And when a person hears you talking about them, that you've made them an important person, not only in their life, but apparently to my life. And that's the opening to be able to start talking about Krishna consciousness. Where there's a will, there is a way. If you want to share Krishna, you will. Now, the interesting thing about Prahlad Maharaj, when he achieved this most wonderful state of transcendental bliss, here we have it, and it's going to go on for a few more pages. He had a compulsive desire to share it with his friends. He saw his friends wasting their lives, wasting their time, frivolous, throwing a ball and just tackling one another, pushing one another, doing the things that kids do. So he said, I've got something better to do. I'm going to help you. I want to share something with you, something that I received from my spiritual master. And you have anxiety, you have uncertainty, you have doubt, you have confusion. It goes with the palace life. But I have something that will make you peaceful and strong, and peaceful and strong and loving. You feel these feelings, and you won't be wasting your time. So he tells them about Hare Krishna, he tells them about who they really are. Lord Chaitanya, when he would teach Sanskrit, he would connect everything with Krishna. Every letter, he would have a little saying about Krishna with the letters. And this is our challenge, to connect everything we do with Krishna. The more we do that, the more we develop love for Krishna. My best experience that I have had is that for 23 years, I had the opportunity, by Krishna's grace, to read the Krishna book up in the Prasadam room when it was up there. For 23 years, every morning, I get the chance to read it and learn it and develop some attachment to it. So what, by chanting God's holy name, by reading these pastimes, by listening to them, those of you who have no time to read, you can get those CDs that I made, whatever. You can hear the Krishna book, you can hear the Bhagavatam, you can hear teachings of Queen Kunti, all of these things. They're all available. Are we going to accept the challenge to utilize our time constructively and usefully and meaningfully and beneficially? Or are we going to waste it and just let the past rule our present, and as a result of the past ruling our present, wasting hours and hours of our time, which we do not have to do? If we discriminate and we understand, if I use the time like that, just to watch the ball game or watch the or watch the Academy Awards or the Grammy Awards or whatever it is. What's it going to do if I know that so-and-so won it? What am I going to gain by that? I can't even, most devotees don't even want to talk about that, either out of shame or out of disinterest. So the result is that we need to think about this always. Are we using our time in the most efficacious way possible? And if we are doing that, if we think, there's so many ways, hearing about the Lord, chanting about the Lord, remembering Krishna. We have Govardhan Pooj coming up soon. We could remember that whole pastime. It's so wonderful. How Indra tried to drown the residents of Krishna and how Krishna saved them all. My devotee will never be vanquished, he says. And he proves it there. He saves all the residents of Vrindavan. There is so much wealth of material that our Srila Prabhupada has given us. We need only, number one, think how blessed it is, how beneficial it is, how gracious he has been, how kind he's been, how munificent. And we have only to take these up in a mood of thankfulness, in a mood of love, and in a move of trying to, as he himself so wonderfully did, to serve what he wanted us to do, was to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, so that so many people who are sad, who are sorrowful, miserable, anxious, uncertain, doubtful, in a word, living a terrible, horrible life, we can transform them. We have the tools to do it. But we cannot use those tools properly unless we ourselves become purified through the process. And we need to be desiring, yes, please, Lord, help me to become pure. Help me to love you purely. Help me to love you constantly. Help me to serve you always. Help me to never fall down. Don't take it for granted that you won't fall down. Srila Prabhupada says you should always be praying, please, Krishna, keep me in this and don't ever let me go. And if we do that, our life will be successful and sublime. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or any comments that any of you might like to make? Yes, Bhrigupati. Not working. Is our engineer Omkar? Did he disappear? Huh? I don't think it's working because the people on the internet should have
mics on. But anyway, there it goes.
There it is. Go.
Yeah, thank you for a very interesting and thought-provoking class. My question is this: as you know, we're both from the same place, New York City, and you mentioned that you were a New York Yankee fan, and I actually was a Mets fan.
Oh, okay.
And, from the time they formulated the team for the first 10 years or so. When
they used to be the Giants, by the way, but go ahead.
Yeah, and they finished last every year. And that was just, the way it worked. They always lost. And I feel like I learned a lot of valuable lessons from that, how to be detached from the results that have helped me in my service today. Now, of course, that was all happened before I became a devotee. But I was just wondering, would you consider that a bona fide process?
What is that?
Learning
being detached from
results.
The results.
Yeah, they finished
last.
Well,
are you advocating that we should all start watching the games and then detach ourselves from the result? Because most people here, I don't think it really could care less about the results. You see, most devotees are not. They watch it out of sentiment, past sentiment, past. As I mentioned at the beginning, I don't know if you were in here in the beginning of the class.
Yeah, I was here.
But there was the past sentiment of the pleasure of the game, and because who do you root for? Because you're in Los Angeles, and most devotees understand it's just the pleasure of watching people beat people, and a little mode of passion that still is hanging around inside our hearts is pushing us or urging us to watch competition or contests or fights or whatever it might be. So no, that's not the. If you want to be detached, then what you do is the first thing is to discriminate. Is this going to benefit me? That's the first thing. And if it is, if it's something that can be utilized in devotional service, then we go to it. And if it can't be used in devotional service, we leave it. We don't want anything to do with it. So detachment comes from discriminating first. Now, once you've decided that this is not going to benefit my spiritual career, it's going to rather take it, make it do a tailspin, or I'm certainly going to not improve, then that's my decision. If it can't help me to improve my life, I don't want it. So that's my detachment. So as far as the detachment from my results go, you have to, again, discriminate. What will it benefit me to be attached to my results? Think about this. If I'm attached to my results and the result is good, positive, then I'll think I'm great. But if the results are bad, then I'll think I'm small and insignificant. Now, if you think you're small and insignificant and worthless, you'll start having an inferiority complex and you won't want to do anything. And if you think you're great, then you walk around and you feel wonderful and you feel great until the next time that you get crushed. Now, Krishna says, perform your duty equipoised, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. Equanimity means peacefulness, steadiness. One who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is eligible for liberation. So if we want to be liberated, if we want to be exalted, if we want to rise, then what we need to do is we need to do those things which will enable us to do that. We need to not be attached to any types of results. We need to understand that ultimately Krishna decides on what the result is going to be. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the results. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities. Never be attached to not doing your duty. So Krishna is the ultimate doer. So why should I be attached to something that I'm not really, I'm only making the effort. But could I even make the effort unless Krishna gave me the energy, the strength, the eyesight, the hearing, and all the things that go into making that result? No. So Krishna, he's the one who gets the credit. And if we have that in mind, we will always be in the servant mentality that he gets the credit because he is due the credit. He's the one who is enabling it to happen. And he's the one who is taking care of the different karmas that enable me to be successful successful or unsuccessful. Okay? But you know that already. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Lord the Prabhupada, Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
You're just being kind to a fool. I really think that now.